Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and Happy New Year. It is now 2015, and here we are. You're listening to Dr. Gary Penn and my spectacular podcast that is listened to worldwide. I like to talk about my grandiosity because I could only talk about it. To live grandiosity, a lot different. Anyway, we have a big treat today because I'm going to be interviewing someone. I'm going to interview someone, especially someone who's kind of interesting and talkative and has a lot to say. So today I'm speaking with Deborah Kagan. She is a sensual, let me now check this out, because the bio is kind of fun. She is a sensual lifestyle specialist. Just that alone is a mouthful. She really works primarily with women to tap into their innate power and connect with her mojo, which she identifies as a source of true self-esteem. So that's interesting. She's the author of Find Your Me Spot, 52 Ways to Reclaim Your Confidence, Feel Good in Your Own Skin, and Live the Turned On Life. And she's about to be putting out The Sensually Empowered Woman. So she's kind of, well, we'll talk about it. So I want to welcome Deborah to the podcast. Deborah, hello.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here with you and starting the new year this way.
Yeah, that's nice. So, sensual lifestyle specialist. So you need to help me. Tell me, tell me what that is. Aside from just, you know, going on bigboobs.com, what is, that's, you know.
And that's so perfect because that is the misconception. Right?
Yes.
It's like so many people, not any fault of their own, but based on society and culture and, you know, what we've been raised around, have sensuality completely misconstrued, right? And I'm a fairly simple woman, and so that could be an oxymoron. However, when we just look up the definition of sensuality and sensual in the dictionary, right? It talks about being engaged in one's senses, right? So being sensual is when you are consciously awake to the use of your senses, sense of smell and touch and taste and seeing and hearing. Now, we do that all the time, right? 24/7, we're having a sensual experience. But because of the collapsing of sensuality and sex, which frankly, you know, sex is quite simple when it comes to the definition of it, right? I mean, we as humans complicate it, but sex itself is like, you know, two people having intercourse. It's not a complicated thing. And most people in this day and age don't even really bring sensuality into the bedroom anymore. It just has become like a friction thing. That's a whole other conversation, which maybe we'll have another time. Sensuality,
yes.
Bottom line, is an engagement with the senses. And that's something, again, that everybody's doing all day long. But right now, in where we are in 2015, people are doing it unconsciously, right? And for a woman, that can be a source of the disempowerment that a lot of women have been feeling for actually decades.
We need more. Say that one more time. We need more sense. Say that what you just said. We need more what? What do we need more of?
Well, what we need more of, and what I help women do in my field, is we need more conscious awareness and conscious connection to our sensual nature, right? And it's so simple. It's literally when we become aware of our senses, when we take, the old phrase, take time to smell the roses, something happens to our inner landscape. And again, this is valid for men for sure. However, most of my work has been dedicated to women. And for a woman, we're wired a little bit differently than you guys. I'm sure you've, talked about that with some other guests, probably.
And one or those two, conversations. Yeah.
One or two, right? So
yeah.
For a woman, when she really wakes up to that connection of a sensual connection, it's like a woman gets plugged in at that moment to her body. And a woman's power lives in her body, right? But what's happened since really the rise of, I call it modern day feminism, and we've had waves of it, over, centuries, but modern day feminism from, late 60s to early 70s, women have been struck by this epidemic called the masculinization of women. That's what I call it, right? And it's we've learned to achieve, we've learned to really be strong, we've learned to, sort of conquer in the boardrooms, and we've learned to become hugely successful and be able to, play with the big boys. And while that's a good thing, there's been many, many, doors that have opened because of that, and it's been important. The detriment that's occurred from that, though, is that women have disconnected from their own bodies. They're just living their life above the neck. And I know this is part of my own journey.
Yes, but we'll get to that. Let me just ask you one question in regards to that. If I'm a woman and I am, really operating at a very high level, let's say, in the corporate world, and really going what would be traditionally masculine positions of power and success, aren't I incorporating my senses? Because it seems to me like what you're talking about is transcending not just the five senses, or actually there's... I think there's this is what I learned in my graduate school, in the graduate classes, like 9 or 10 or 11 senses. It's so weird. There's a sense of time and balance and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
But the major, but the five major ones, it's like, aren't you really talking about the sensual world in a position of sexuality, and not just sexuality of I have a penis, you have a vagina, but more a sexuality in the sense of how I feel sexually, how I feel sensually, and the way we understand it, like the pedestrians of the world, like in my loins or in my, in my pituitary glands or whatever it is that gets activated, my endorphins, it's that kind of sexual position.
Well, no, I mean, that's not what, those are the things when I was mentioning how we've collapsed those two. Right, in society. They definitely coincide, right? They can be concentric circles. However, they have their own ability to live and thrive separate from one another. And so what I've noticed and what I've learned, and when I work with women, when a woman becomes awake and connected to that sensual nature, and the base five senses, then... there's a sense of ownership, there's a sense of confidence that emerges from her own being, from her own body, separate from the sexuality aspect of her.
Interesting. Well, tell me about your journey and how that works for you. How does that work for you? How did you find this idea?
Well, it was interesting because, many years ago, it's probably been about 12 years now, I lost what I call my mojo, right, which is our life force, the energy that embodies us. So you could call it life force. Some people call it chi. Some, if you're a yogi, you call it prana. It's that life force that lives within everything, humans and nature. And so I lost mine during my first marriage. And it was weird and painful and devastating, and I got really quiet, became kind of a shell of myself, and I didn't get it. I didn't understand why it happened. And so once I left that marriage, I dedicated myself to learning what the heck happened, number one, and number two, how to never let that happen again and to build and cultivate and stay connected to my womanness and what that means in you know, across the board, including the source of that mojo. And so that's,
you know,
that's
Deborah,
what happened
this is
for
so
me.
Interesting because I have a patient who he, but it's a male, but he's lost it. And the relationship's lost it, and it's kind of a flat line. Like when you were married, did you ever like feel, you said 12 years ago I lost it. Did you have it with that husband? Like, did you really have it at some point, or you never really had it? You were just kind of, he was such a terrific guy. You were kind of like saying, okay, he hits so many wonderful qualities that I should be able to have a very, you know, passionate and connected relationship with him. It just wasn't there, or what happened where you had it and then you lost it?
Yeah, and there were a couple. It's interesting because there are a couple factors, and you're talking about a male patient of yours, right? Again, this information isn't really gender specific. It just so happens that my passion has been helping women on this arena, but I sometimes joke around. It's however true, but I say that I had this unbridled connection to it even before I was married. Like, there was a sense of aliveness, of boldness, of confidence, but it was like a young, untrained, to wild horse. Like, it didn't really know what the heck, it has. It has this amazing power, but it doesn't really know what to do with it. Like, that's what I had before my marriage. I got married in my 20s, so it was a bit early. So it was there. And what was interesting is during the course of the marriage, for numerous reasons, those I call it like the volume dial on it started to just go down, right? It's not like it ever got lost completely. It just started to quiet down. There were certain things like, well, maybe I shouldn't be that sort of expressive, or maybe it's not okay to really be what I thought was okay before I got married. Like, there are all sorts of strange psychological questioning that went on during that time period. And that happens, right, to people. I mean, you see this every day in and day out with your patients, I'm sure. And so that, that was a part of the process. And, and then finding out that there's this source that we all have within ourselves of this power, this potency. Like, if you talk to a martial artist, or even if you talk to a boxer, right? People who are, know kind of the power of their own bodies in athletes, but particularly martial artists and boxers. You have an area on your body. It's called the power center. If you're a martial artist, you call it the dantian, but it rests below your navel and above your pubic bone. Right, below your navel, above your pubic bone. And, a boxer will say, like, your power moves, like, they come from this place, right? That's where they know how to steady themselves and keep their balance. And so even energetically, the power that lies within all of our bodies as humans is in this area. And when you think about that, just physical location on a woman, like, this is where we can create life. And so just going back to the point about the masculinization of women, when women disconnect from their bodies and they only live in their heads, it's very challenging to create anything, whether it be a business, a relationship, a wonderful meal, right? An interesting vacation, whatever it might be. So that journey from just living above your neck to down into your own body can be sometimes the scariest and longest journeys a woman can take. And, some of the work that I do, just, the philanthropy that I do is with women who, to help end violence against women and girls, any kind of domestic violence or sexual abuse. And for people who have experienced that, one of the less talked about really repercussions of that is a disassociation with your own body, right? Because it becomes a not a safe place to be. So you'd think, well, you know, if somebody could hurt me, if somebody could abuse me, why the heck would I actually consciously want to be in this thing? I call it a rental vehicle, right? We've got these rental vehicles we're walking around in. But when we're walking around vacant and not connected to it, you know, right, that's when there's a lack of presence. And then the present of your life just goes missing. And you don't actually share everything that you're here to share.
Huh. So what causes this? I mean, it's really smart what you're saying. What you're saying, I really like. It kind of hits you in an intuitive way. So how do you understand this? It's like, you know, you're obviously a woman. You work with women. I grew up surrounded by women. And it just seems to me that so many people have so much trouble. The idea of becoming conscious, I think, is, and certainly in my field, it's the whole goal of psychology is to become conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Freud said that the goal of analysis is to make the unconscious conscious. And that when you accomplish that, you're able to work and love well. And I think he was right on with that. Obviously, you can do other things, you know, in addition to just, you know, working and loving. But it's nice because those are two pretty important things in life, is to work well and to love well. But you have to become conscious.
Yes.
So is it that women in our society, I mean, do you, is it really just, obviously you're an American and this is an American position, but do you like, is this something that goes through the Asian world or the, you know, the Latino world? Is it, you would think, I remember I had a patient who, a couple that I was seeing, and they were from Mexico. And, you know, we were talking about it. I feel kind of dopey, so you have to put up with me. I'm a little bit of a knuckle dragger, Deborah, but I'm kind of bringing this back to sexuality a lot. So if you could always rein me back in if I get too much into that part of it. But she never masturbated in her whole life. She was in her 30s, and her husband was this very machismo man, and she was all jammed up. And as I started working with them and I started getting her more and more into, you know, being comfortable with that, he couldn't handle it anymore and they stopped coming to therapy. So it's like, how does it happen that a woman, is it from the 70s on when feminism came in? Is it something more than that? Is it, how is it that women have lost their way?
Well, you know, it's so interesting because there are many roads lead to Rome, right? So there are many ways and many avenues and reasons why a woman disconnects from her own mojo, right? Her own power and her own sensual nature. A very common one is one that I mentioned, which is any form of abuse, right? Any kind of abuse, because that alone really just rips you from your own sense of self, and that creates there's something I talk about with my work called the kinky life. You know, I like to have a play on words, right? So,
yeah.
And it's not the kind of kink you're talking about or thinking about maybe, but it's the kinky life where you think of like a kink in a garden hose, right? So if you're trying to water your garden and mm-hmm. there's a knot or this kink in the hose and you turn the water on, I mean, the water's always available from the source. However, it's not going to get through that hose you might get, you know, a little couple drips and drabs, but you're not going to really get to water that garden because of that kink. And so what happens to us as humans is we get these kinks in our neurobiological structure, right, our energetic structure. And it's fascinating. There's a great movie called I Am. Have you seen that movie?
I have not.
Oh, it's terrific.
But I should see it.
Made by,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's a really great movie, and it talks a lot about the explanation, the deeper layers of what I'm mentioning now in terms of our own energetic system and how we are wired. made by a very big, you know, sort of Hollywood film director. So it's very interesting. In any case, so when we have any kind of trauma, and, you know, we're human, so every single person is going to experience some kind of trauma, whether it be you were made fun of in the schoolyard or, you know, you were beat up, I mean, literally by a family member or whatever it might have happened, or more tragic. So when trauma occurs, it lands in our physical body, like our cellular nature, and it starts to create that kink. So now we're dealing with, and this usually, you know, starts at a young age. I mean, usually before the time we're 10 years old, we've developed
most of
the kinks,
right? Right, of course.
So by the time we're about 10, we now have these sort of kinked up spots within our own energetic makeup. And that translates to a particular expression of self, because we've learned, you know, if I fully express in whatever way I did, you know, at the moment the kink occurred, well, that could be problematic. So now we're expressing ourselves through these sort of twisted and gnarled, you know, energy systems that does not correspond to who you truly are. And therein lies the disconnect between the truth of, you know, like we were talking about how this happened to a woman, a truth of a woman, you know, and when she starts to lose it. And it's interesting because as you get older and you go into your teen years and then your 20s and so on and so forth, you're living from the kink rather than your true nature. And so therefore you hear, you know, people say, it's like, I can never meet a great guy, or I just, you know, never seem to quite feel good about my own body. And it's because you're living from the place of the wound, and therefore that's the mirror and the experience you'll continue to have, because that's what, you know, you've been conditioned to experience. And here's what's so cool, Gary. What's so cool is the way to shift the kink is through
Listening. What is it?
And listen, it's so exciting, and it's so
simple.
Which is what
this is so good. I can't wait.
I know, I'm telling you, it's so simple. Literally, the way to shift those kinks is to experience your life through your senses consciously. The more that you engage in the smells and the tastes and the touch, like with an aliveness and an awakeness, that is the salve that smooths out and starts to obliterate the kink, because you now are in control of creating a new pattern in your body. Right, one of the people that does this so well, who's, you know, really well known all over the world, is Tony Robbins. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tony Robbins talks about this thing called a pattern interrupt, and you create a pattern interrupt through your physical body. It's not a mental thing. And what this is, you know, like he'll be like, okay, if you're starting to doubt yourself or whatever, you have to have one of his big things he talks about is your power move, right? So this is like moving your physical body in a particular way that's going to like shift your own neurobiology to build up a new muscle that's going to support your success rather than take away from it. And so this is what I help women do in the line and in the flow of their own confidence and self-love, and really self-responsibility and their own development of positive well-being, right? So there's, and this brings me back to, you know, the Mojo piece, right, which is throughout all of the work. And Mojo really, it's an acronym for the four pillars that I have developed. And I think it's really important because, you know, you mentioned this Freud quote. It made me think of a wonderful quote from Napoleon Hill, who wrote this very famous book called Think and Grow Rich. And it's, you know, in the chapter that most people don't talk about in his book, he says, those who lack, he says, you know, sex energy, and he's talking about life force. He's not talking about physical sex. He's talking about that life force energy that is the creative nature of the universe. And those who lack that, right, who lack the mojo energy, he says, will never become enthusiastic nor inspire others with enthusiasm. And I just thought that was amazing and very true, right? Very, very true. So,
mm-hmm.
When we think about mojo, right, what I'm talking about and what I'd love to share is the first piece is the M. It's the mindset. So, it's great. Your show is helping people, open up their minds and shift their minds. And we have to, get our heads screwed on straight, number one. And that can even begin with that conversation of what is sensuality actually, right, separate from the sex, really to uncollapse those things so there can be more freedom, right? So there's the mindset piece. And then there's the O, right, which is what I call the oracle, right? And this is the body. This is tuning into your own oracle, your body. We hear your body has all the answers, and it really does. Right, you really tune in to what do you need? What does your body need to eat? What does your body need to do? Do you need to rest? Do you need to take a walk around the block? Like, it's always going to tell you. And again, our power center is between our navel and our pubic bone, and that is a low place on our body, so very much in our body. So it's about helping.
Does that align with the chakras or no?
Well, it does. It coincides with that, absolutely. I mean, it's so fascinating to me because just right throughout so many different cultures, there are, we call things differently, and yet they're really the same thing. So, yeah, this power center is also can be known as the second chakra, right, which is our creative
And where source. Is that located? Is that located in the same kind of area?
Yep, below the navel.
Is that a lower area?
The pubic bone. Yep.
Oh, mm-hmm. Fascinating. Interesting.
Yep. Yep. So it's
okay,
really,
oracle.
Again, tuning into the oracle, right?
Okay.
And then the third piece is to join, that's the J of Mojo, to join with the different roles that you play in life. And this is a tricky one for women, right? Because, again, this goes back to being conditioned and cultivated to really living out of, like, maybe the professional role, or, the personal role. So maybe you end up becoming a wife or a mother, and then you've got your job. So those are the only two avenues you let yourself be expressed. But the fact of the matter is, for a woman, right, we are 32 flavors and then some. Right? I mean, like, we are a whole buffet. We're a poo-poo platter, right? And
mm-hmm.
When we don't have the opportunity and really give ourselves the opportunity to express the, sassy side or the artistic side or the sort of mother love healing side or the, sexual kind of wild child side. Like, those things get shoved in a closet. They get put under a rug. Somebody has said that's not okay. So now we, throw a dollop of shame on top of it. And they don't go away. They're all just like having this conversation and whispering and going, hey, I'm in the closet, let me out. And so one of the things I hear all the time from women is, I just don't feel like people get me, and I just don't feel like all of me is, like, expressed. So that joining of the roles is supporting women in recognizing the multiple facets that they possess and then learning how to consciously again and safely and smartly bring those roles out into the play, the movie of their life. And the fourth piece.
Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead. Yes, M O J O. Okay, the other O.
Yeah. So the last O is the oasis.
Yes.
Right. This is your environment. So we all know at this point that our environments really do shape who we are, whether it's from the neighborhood that you live in to the home that you grew up in. But the literal walls that you surround yourself with can affect your success or lack thereof. So there are particular ways and things to know about how to set up your environment. So again, you can be sensually alive, connected.
Well, give us some
and
tips.
Have, yeah,
give
well,
us
so
some
really
tips.
Interesting. Let's talk about the bedroom, right? Because I know it's a good
well,
thing to talk
you,
about.
Well, before you go there, I want my listeners to know that apparently you are an expert on feng shui, and you are not just
yes.
talking like, oh, I think this, and so it's something that I just thought of while I was doing whatever. You actually put a lot of time and work into this, so you really are someone that someone would go to say, how do I set up my environment?
True. Yes, I did. I studied for over a decade with Master Lin Yun, who was responsible for bringing feng shui to the West, and I've had a professional consulting business for it's been over 17 years now. So
you know,
true.
So you really
I know
it.
A thing or two.
tell me one thing, just so before you get into what you were talking about, because I find this fascinating. What is the basis of feng shui and this kind of understanding the world? Like, what are, like, when you just give me like a couple of ideas, like why does it matter if my couch is one area or a lamp something else? Like, what is the thought process that someone like you would make when you walked into my bedroom or to my home? What is the thinking about that?
Well, here's what's so fascinating about this whole method, right? Because it's first of all, it's thousands of years old, right? At this point, depending on what you read, it's between 4,000 and 5,000 years old. But regardless, it's ancient. And the way I like to think about it is that it's acupuncture for architecture. Okay.
Nice.
So for anyone out there who's
nice analogy.
And it's really. When we think of acupuncture, which is a much more commonly accepted and known thing at this point, there's again this chart of the body, right, where there's these meridian lines. Those are energy freeways that,
mm-hmm.
again, move in our physical
yep.
body. Well, we
sure.
have those energy freeways in our environment body.
That is
in
so
our
smart.
Homes and structures, right?
Yes,
so
exactly.
So when I would go, if I came to your house, if my meter was off and it was just social, we wouldn't talk about it. But if I'm working.
No, we would. I would make you. If I was going to feed you, I would make you talk about it. But go ahead.
So when we go and I would look and I'm in a professional capacity, right, then I'm looking at that space. And I've done work before I get there, mind you. It's not like I just show up and, poof. So there's prep work of looking at floor plans. And there's a particular, every structure has a particular effect on the people's lives who live in that structure. So what we look at, the lines and these energy patterns of what's a helpful flow for your life, what's going to helpful, be supportive to your careers, to your relationships, to your health, and what's going to detract from that. And the amazing thing about the way that I practice and what I was taught by my teacher is that no matter what space you're residing in, like no matter how challenging it may be, and I mean, I've been in definitely been over 1,000+ spaces at this point that I've worked on professionally. There have been some really tough ones. There's always something you can do to shift your experience. So think about like taking 1 ounce of a remedy to really create thousands of pounds of change. And I appreciated that approach, right? There are other approaches that will say, this space is so screwed up, right? You got to move. That didn't work for me, right? I'm a practical person. I'm like, I want you to tell me how I can do something now that I can support myself. And that's the way I chose to expand and study this. So it's about looking at the space, finding out what's helpful and what's challenging, and really not just because somebody said I should do this, like what is it that you want to do with your life? That's the thing that a lot we all will start to forget, right? It's like, what's the next?
What do you
magic
mean? What
pill?
Do I want to do? Don't I want to, regardless of whether I'm a guy who works with my hands or with my brain? Don't I just want to be actualized? Don't I actually want to let whatever it is come forward? And in what you're saying, don't I want my energy to be flowing, as Yoda would say, let the energy flow through you? Don't I want that even physically, psychologically, mentally, sexually? Don't I want that?
I would say yes. but a lot of people these days, right, are just sort of like, what's the next, get rich quick thing?
So are we just lost? Are we just lost in desire?
Well, I don't know if we're just lost in desire. I really think that we are lost in the deeper desires, right? What do you really want. Not what do you want because it's on the television or your friend
no,
has
wait,
it.
No, wait, wait,
or,
wait a minute, Deborah. What if I just don't want to get hurt? What if I don't want to get abused? See, so often with the people I work with, what they want is what they don't want. And when I, one of the things I tell my patients is, tell me what you want. Don't constantly tell me what you don't want. But what if what people want is just to play it safe? I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be someone who makes an ass of myself by, you know, showing I went to Deborah's workshop and I have all this, you know, this sensual energy and I'm just living my life and people look at me like, what's wrong with you? Like, what about those kinds of things that terrify people?
Those are true. I get that and I hear that all the time. And I then will also say, okay, that's I hear you. And that's a cop-out, right? What is it? What's beneath that? What do you really want? Because there's a deeper truth there, right? There's something beneath the, I don't want to be made a fool of. Not like that come
right,
on, we all,
what's
I don't want to be
then?
Made
Go
a fool
ahead.
Of, but, you know, it's like there comes a point where you say, there's something that's even more important to me that I'm willing to risk being made a fool of. What is that? What is that desire? Like, that's what I'm interested in talking about with, you know, the women that I work with.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It doesn't, you know, negate that desire of I don't want to be made a fool of. But again, like you said, that's the negative, what you don't want. And most people start there because we are a culture of conditioning fear and play small and don't ask for what you really want because you might get hurt, right? Or you might get made a fool of. And I say,
that's
like,
right.
Screw that, right? Like, that's old, we've done it, it's boring. Like, let's create from some place that's more powerful. And that's the deeper truth, right? So, we just went off on a great tangent. But I'm like, I'm trying to remember now where to go back. Where were we?
well, let's stick with this for a minute because it's so true. It's the deeper truth. And what you're saying, and this was in, I wanted to get back to this because we'll go back to the oasis in a moment, but what we were talking about is you were saying that the way that you get past the, Freud would call it the fixation points where we get fixated, or the kinks, as you would call it, the chinks in the, in the hose, which is a wonderful analogy. I might have to steal that from you. But it's the idea of, you see, in the way I work, but I'm going to, obviously, as I'm talking to you, I think I'm going to let you teach me a bit, which is always wonderful. But I think that it's really important to deconstruct what happened and why it's been so traumatic. But you're saying there's actually a shortcut by opening up like from a mind psychological body using basically Drano on your body and unclogging this position that's kept you just down and fixated at a very early injury.
Yes, and what's really, what's interesting is, and I spent a lot of the years in therapy, right? So I think there's there's a time and a place for it, for sure. And I also have experienced that it isn't completely necessary for everybody, that there is this Drano, as you said, that's a great way to explain it, this Drano approach that can really work for a lot of people to not have to necessarily talk about what happened and hash through it and to instead literally just move it through the body and transcend it.
So
done.
If I was told by my father that I'm ugly and no man's ever going to want me, and or if he sexually misused me or something like that, or something like that, it's possible to, through your mind-body work, to actually have a healing take place and an awakening to a present that's not based on the past.
Correct.
Well, that's pretty terrific.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, it is very powerful. And look, and like I said, there are some, and while we all have the same sort of internal stuff and wiring. Depending on, again, your personality and your ego awareness, you as a individual will process things slightly different than somebody else. So it might be really simple for someone, if they got a hold of, you know, the work that I do, to then do that transcendence of past through the body, right? Have this mind-body experience. But for another person, I mean, it was interesting, a client that I recently worked with, and she was a woman who had a little, it took her a little more time to get down into her body, to be able to start to digest things through her body.
She had spent
so much time, like really dedicated and very connected to her life above the neck, to her mindset, to her smarts, to her analytical prowess.
Yes.
And so someone who is really kind of like a head person, and maybe, you know, maybe they're not like completely kind of tenderized and ripe and ready to just drop down into their bodies, it's going to take them a little longer. It just is. And, you know, again, not good, not bad, just what it is.
Okay, gotcha.
So, there are just certain, you know, there are certain types of exercises and things that, you know, will then work better for that kind of a person to get themselves into their body.
Give me an example.
There are certain things that are kind of similar to some martial arts moves, right? But they're going to need a little more excessive physical impact, right? So you can think about earthquakes, right? We both live in California, so we're familiar with those, but like when there's a small one, we might not even feel it, right? If we're just like, you know, if it's a 2-point whatever, like no big deal, and it's not that close to us, we didn't really feel it, didn't really do much. But maybe it's a 4-point something, you know, that's going to really shake our house. And so the folks that are more in their heads will usually need a little stronger seismic kick to actually feel their own body. I mean, it's really amazing how many people are not even conscious to feeling their bodies. And I don't mean just like, you know, getting in the shower and washing your hair. I mean, we're all touching and feeling our bodies, putting our clothes on every day. But again, it's, you're not really feeling yourself in your body. Like, are you actually feeling your feet?
It's so
walking,
interesting.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it's so interesting because when you're telling me this, you like, I just instantly went back. It's such an interesting thing, Deborah. I just instantly went back, and this is me being a knuckle dragger again. When I was like, I don't know, a teenager, an adolescent, and starting like to feel my penis for the first time and becoming like aware of what it was. And it was a newness that was like, oh, well, this is interesting. And like never having that happen, never having noticed that. And then like when you meditate and you start to go into different areas, when I was meditating a lot, it was, again, you have a different experience where it's like new and it's so much, and you're right, there's so much energy there. It's quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. That's like when you connect, you are have that direct you hook up to all of the life force that is like pumping and having a party inside you all the time.
I never knew I had a penis until I knew I had a penis.
Well, I know, but you know, and there's like so much cool stuff. Like you've got a penis, you've got these legs, you've got hands, you've got arms, you've got, you know, all sorts of cool stuff going on. And it's amazing because really when you watch children and you watch, you know, young, you know, babies discovering their bodies, like just like we are born with all of that energy and all of that aliveness inside us. And you look at any baby and it's evidence right there. Yeah, and then as we talked about, life goes on, and all of a sudden, you know, we have one kink, and then another, and then another, and then all of a
because
sudden,
because
we you know,
I have
kind
bills
light...
to pay. Why are you getting in my way, Deborah? I've got bills to pay, and I've got
I
stuff
know,
to do,
not...
and I got a closet to clean out. But you're screwing with my life. How do I live a life? How do I have kids? How do I have business? And how do I can do this? Is it obviously it can't be mutually exclusive. How do I keep this top of mind? It's kind of like when I do yoga now. I'm constantly trying to strengthen my core because my yoga instructor is saying, Gary, it's all in the core. You've got to, you know, it's you know, it's so funny that I've been saying this to you, Deborah. It's the same area, isn't it? It's the core.
The power center.
It's that area just by my navel that I gotta experience, and it's the same thing. So I had a backache the other day from an intense yoga session, and my yoga instructor said, Gary, tighten your core, curl up your core. It's the same thing. So it's about becoming conscious, just like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I love it because you're saying, how can we do this, which is it's so perfect. You might have unconsciously done this, but it brings us right back to the oasis, to our environment.
Go ahead. I like it.
So it's about starting to surround yourself with pleasurable things and objects, right? So it's one of the easiest ways to shift your environment is to change what you're looking at, touching, experiencing. And this is really cool because I actually want to share a short story about one of my clients who, terrific woman, you know, lovely woman, worked in a corporate world in finance, was a C-level exec, was very frustrated though with her own personal life, didn't feel even that fulfilled through her career despite the fact that she had achieved quite a level of success. But nobody really connected with her at work. Like, she was a bit of a loner. People didn't ask her to work on projects. Nobody asked her out socially for lunch or, you know, the sort of happy hour after work. And she also would get overlooked for certain promotions that she was deserving of. Okay, so one of the things that we did was to shift her environment at her office. And she had her own office, right? Space. You can do this if you have a cubicle as well. So we said, all right, let's look at just creating some sensual aliveness in that space. So we think about, again, just seeing, smelling, touching, hearing, okay, and tasting. So what she did, she loved tea. Okay, she was a tea gal. So instead of drinking the crap Lipton whatever from the break room at the office, she brought in her teas that she loved. And then she was like, okay, and you know what? I'm not going to drink out of this freaking styrofoam cup anymore, right? She brought in a mug, teacup mug, whatever it was. That again, it felt good in her hand. She loved the design on it. Just looking at it gave her pleasure. Simple stuff. She then, you know, we said, okay, great. We're going to bring in a candle, a little aromatherapy candle, the smell that felt, you know, good for her. And she also brought an aromatherapy spray, like one of these energizing sprays. Fabulous. She then also brought some visuals of places that she loved in the world, right? That she just, you know, when she saw the scenery, it made her happy, just her felt good. So she put some of those images in the office. And instead of, again, going and having some sort of, I don't know, whatever crap from the break room, she loved good dark chocolate, so she brought some of that in. Nothing complicated, right? So then she did this. And after a couple of weeks, people started to come into her office. They started to ask her to work on projects. They started to, she actually was at a conference, like out of town for work, and her colleagues invited her to go for happy hour. Never had happened before. And so what was occurring was she shifted her outer environment, which any of the listeners can do right now, right, in these simple ways. She shifted her outer environment to support her own pleasureful feeding of her sensual nature, and being in that space started to have a ripple effect in her own body. There was a sense of calm. There was a sense of confidence. There was just this sense of loving herself and being more self-expressed. And people started to react to that and feel that because her vibration shifted, and therefore her whole world started to shift around
her.
That
is so, smart. Again, you've been really smart today, which is good. You know, we kind of parallel each other because I talk in a different way about the same thing. And one of the things that I say to my patients is I ask them, why does the Earth and the planets revolve around the sun and not the sun revolve around the planets? You know the answer?
Please educate me.
Okay, it's just mass. The sun has more mass than the planet. So imagine like there's a gigantic bed, all right, and there's all these round rocks on it, different sizes. You know, one's bigger, one's really small. And then you put a gigantic, like, boulder on the bed. What it's going to do, it's going to warp the mattress so all the other balls start circling around it, right? They're going to start circling around it. So it's like the sun actually warps space in our solar system, and all the other objects in the solar system go towards it, and then they create an orbit around it. So what you're talking about is, you know, instead of externalizing your sense of self to other people, oh, please like me, or why don't people do this, and you're just kind of becoming less and less, no mass, no sense of self, you're saying invest in yourself. Tell me what
Amen.
You want, what you love. And it creates, it's a psychological, but it's also a physical part of the universe that the more you invest in yourself. And when I tell people, it's really interesting. It's like, you know, the difference between a star and a planet is a star has more mass. And if it gets enough mass, the internal structure of the mass sucks in the gases from the outside. It creates fusion. And you actually light up the actual planet. It starts to light up, and now it's a star. And now it emits light and heat as opposed to only reflecting it. I'm getting a little bit in the weeds right now, but it's fascinating because you're talking about the same thing.
I know. Well, I love this. I love that you just said that because I haven't thought of it that way. But, right, it's like we are all the sun, okay? And so you're talking about, like, everything starts to orbit around the sun because the sun has, you know, so much mass. And so the more that, you know, and again, I'm going to say women, but certainly men, come on, you know, bring your own mojo to the party. But it's like, you know, the more that you become embodied, that is so much of what I am supporting women in doing. When you become embodied, you literally, energetically, you have more mass, which is why people be like, did you get a new haircut?
People,
is that a new
it's
outfit?
Attractive.
You know? And it's like, no, yes, and you have more presence, and that's why that magnetic attraction factor
people
instantly
are attracted
occurs.
To you.
This.
Exactly, yes. It's
this.
So
love
fascinating
it.
Because it's like exactly what happens in the universe you see happen between you and me. And if I start getting really smart and I start creating my own business and I start doing, instead of saying, Deborah, like me, like me, like me, if I start going to the gym and getting healthy and doing these things, you're saying, Gary, what are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. I'm going to this conference. And all of a sudden you go, oh, what are you going to? And then you're interested in me. And then I become attractive to you.
Mm-hmm.
So much what you're talking about. I like that. Yeah. Good.
It's amazing. That's brilliant.
Yes. Yeah, good.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
We did it.
That's nice. We did it.
Oh, this is great.
So you have a thriving business. You do individual consulting. You do workshops. Tell me about your business of what you do and how people like reach out to you and how they get a hold of you and all that good stuff. Like, what is it that you would, if I'm listening to this podcast and I'm saying, God damn it, she's smart, I feel a little bit jammed up, what's the process? If I were to call you, what would you do with me?
Well, what I want to invite all your listeners to do is to go to a website it's yourlifestartshere.com. Your life starts here. Because I really do believe your life starts here with the mojo piece. So when you go there, you're going to receive a complimentary 4-part video series. And those 4 videos are going to walk you through the mindset, the oracle, joining with your roles, and some tips for your oasis. Okay? So yourlifestartshere.com is where you can access those. And that way we can start to be in community together because I want you to just try some stuff out, see what works for you. You'll get a taste for, you know, more of for who I am and what I offer. And So that's a great place for the listeners to start. You know, in terms of working with me, I do have some private clients. I work with people all over the world. One of the things that I'm so excited about, I'm going to have a client in Egypt. I'm just like, that blew my mind. I was so excited.
Nice.
I've worked with people,
wonderful.
You know, in Australia and you know, all over. I thought, oh, Egypt, this is amazing. So the mojo's
yes.
in Egypt now. And in any case, so I get to work with women all over the world, and we do that, you know, over the phone or through Skype. And then the other thing that I do is I've created some home study courses, so therefore you can start to get the mojo work, you know, in your own time. And then there's group programs. And the thing that's so cool these days about technology, and I'm a little bit of, you know, not a Luddite, but, you know, I'm not the swiftest with technology. However,
yep.
I love it because, you know, we get to reach people all over the world like we're doing with this podcast.
Amazing.
So
isn't that amazing?
It's really
yes.
amazing. And when I run programs, I run them virtually. So that means I'll work with a group of women, and we get to do that through the internet. And it's really fantastic. So, again, you know, if you're interested in any of that, you can just check out those videos. I'm on social media, so please connect with me. We're pretty active on, you know, on Facebook, it's Mojo Recovery Specialist. And on Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram, it's Deborah Kagan, right? So you can
wow.
find me on all those platforms. And I want to share, so what else do I want to share with you? I think that's it. And, you know, and you mentioned my book, which is Find Your Me Spot. And, again, you can find that whether it's on my website, Deborah-Kagan.com, or on Amazon. You know, it can be purchased there as well. And it's the e-book is available now. We're very excited about that.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
the paperback. So all good tools and resources to help you rock your mojo.
You know, it's so interesting because, again, I've said this like the fifth time I've said this. I am in a lot of ways a knuckle-dragging man. And when someone would say these things about aromatherapy and something, I might like roll my eyes. But you've actually changed me. You've actually made it make sense to me that it's not just like hippy-dippy. It actually makes sense. Like I could say, oh, yeah, that is really smart. And so whenever I hear smart, I get a little bit excited. So that's good. And I actually like the idea of this. It's if I had a company, like I would hire you and I would have you come in and talk to my executives and talk about that, because I think it would really be a boost to the company. And I think it could actually be just so cost effective to do something like this. I would imagine like the output would just be really increased. Which would be something that I would actually do. I would actually hire you, which is definitely
well,
a compliment.
I appreciate that. Then my job is well done today with us. So.
All right, Deborah. Well, listen, thank you for coming on the podcast. I think this was fun. You know, it's so interesting. You always know that it's a good podcast when you look down and the time is up and you could actually have gone longer, which is pretty cool. So
yeah.
We just kind of like talked a little bit. So it was fun. I hope you have a wonderful 2015. And once again, thank you for coming aboard.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was great to be with you.
All right. This is Dr. Gary Penn. Till next time, be well.